So far on this retreat, we've looked at the history of Lam Rim, how it came about. We looked at the function, what is Lam Rim designed to do? We looked at, quite deeply at one of the major prerequisites of walking the path of Lam Rim, and that's having some understanding of the nature and function of the mind. So most of today we've been looking at that and doing related meditations. Getting our mind away from identifying with the clouds, these impermanent problems, emotions, and starting to identify with the clear nature of the mind, like the sky. So we've done that. Then we looked at what it means to have a precious human rebirth. You know, what makes it perfect? This perfect human rebirth. And we spent some time in that. And of course that, as I said, it was to get some enthusiasm going, to take advantage of this rare opportunity of having this perfect human rebirth. Very rare. So you're kind of at this stage maybe thinking, well, maybe it's just me, but I'm ready to go, you know. Kind of got a handle a bit on the mind, understand the benefits of Lam Rim. I've got this precious human rebirth. Give or take, I'm kind of okay with that. Now I'm ready to go. But I'm a bit busy. Basically, I'm very busy. You see, you don't realise, do you? I mean, your life is okay, but my life, very busy. I will find time to do something tricky. But I'll make some time. In fact, I think I've got a holiday coming next year. I can maybe. Okay. Or if you're at another stage, you're thinking, I can't do it at the moment because I'm studying for exams. But once I get the time, I'll do it. So the exams are over. Once I've got a job. See, once I've got a job, I'll have real time for the Dharma. No problem. But I just need to get, you don't understand what it's like in today's world. You know, you have to work hard to get a job. Okay, on you go. So you get the job. I don't have a lot of time now, you see, because I've got to kind of get some promotion. Also, I've got married and I've got kids. Okay, so, but once they're off my hands, I'll have no problem in studying Dharma. See this Lam Rim, I understand that, but it's a bit difficult at the moment. You don't understand. So eventually the children grow up and leave. And now you have the problems of your parents. You don't understand what it's like. I have to keep travelling and looking after them. But you see, once I retire, I'm going to have all this. You have no idea what I'm going to do once I retire. Really. So you're getting on a bit now and your health isn't so good. I would do more about my health. Right? So all of this is going on. Remember we were talking about procrastination, right? Now what the worldly dharmas are saying is there is nothing new under the sun. Nothing new. In Buddha's time, these same things were coming up. Same things. And what the Buddha called them was eight worldly dharmas or eight worldly concerns. And what he said is, this is what we spend most of our life doing. And unless we give a lot of this up, if not all of it, we will never have what's called renunciation. Now, you've all heard of renunciation, right? This word, renunciation. The word itself has connotations of sackcloth and ashes and beating yourself up, you know, and all this got nothing to do with that. Renunciation is about definite emergence. That's one of the definitions, a definite emergence. What are you emerging from and what are you going to? Now, what you're definitely emerging from in renunciation is you're emerging from the eight worldly dharmas that keep you cycling in samsara, that keep you suffering. You need to emerge from that. At the moment, we're surrounded and totally immersed in suffering, totally immersed in the eight worldly dharmas, thinking it's really important. And what it is quicksand. It's a quagmire. It's sucking you down. It's keeping you there. What renunciation is saying, I've had enough of this suffering. I've had enough of this cycling in samsara. I'm going to definitely emerge from this quagmire and I'll take some doing. Where are you going to go to? Where are you going to... You've taken your foot out of this quicksand. Where are you going to put it? You put it on the path of Lamrim. That's where you put it. So that any teachings, any understandings on the eight worldly dharmas has got to do with renunciation. If we stick with the eight worldly dharmas, there's no time. There's no time and there's no inclination either. Now, the Buddha said, there are many problems, but here's how we spend our time. Here's what we want. 2,500 years ago and today, is it the same? Well, let's find out. So settle yourself in the position. Use the two-breath method, if you find that useful, to fully relax the body while keeping a vigilant mind. And this meditation is mostly analytical, bringing your own personal circumstances to the front of your mind. These eight worldly concerns that the Buddha talked about are four sets of two. And what it is this is how we spend our time, this is how we spend our energy, our physical and mental energy. And what we need to examine is this true? And to what extent is it true? And the first pair of worldly concerns is seeking after, grasping after, spending our time gaining the pleasures of the six senses, gaining pleasure. And its companion in that is spending time, effort in being free from that which is unpleasant. So we need to now think and bring to mind, how much time do I spend in these pursuits? The gaining of pleasure of the six senses and the avoiding of the unpleasant. Think about the five senses. Just think about the five. What activities do you engage in to bring pleasure to these senses? What do you do? How much do you think about it? How much effort do you put in? How much energy, how far will we go to avoid the unpleasant? this realm we live in is not called a desire realm for nothing. We have strong desires for the senses, and we'll spend copious amount of time and effort to satisfy this. How true is that for me? Examining in exactly the same way the next pair of eight worldly concerns. The desire to hear sweet sounds and sweet words, and to avoid ugly sounds and ugly words. How much time, how much effort, how much motivation? In exactly the way, same way, examining the next pair, which is to do with acquiring material things, acquiring material things, and making sure you don't lose them, and that nothing is stopping you getting them. How much time, how much effort, how much motivation? Acquiring material goods and the effort we put into not losing them and making sure that we will get them. And the last pair, perhaps the most alluring of all the eight worldly concerns. The effort that we put in to make sure that we have praise and admiration from others. And how we make effort to avoid blame, slander, criticism. These categories may seem broad. How much of a driving force is it for you? Pleasure of the six senses, avoiding that which is unpleasant, sweet words and sounds, avoiding ugly words and sounds, acquiring material, making sure you don't lose it, praise and admiration, making sure you're not criticized, blamed or slandered. To what extent does this fill my time and crowd my mind? To what extent are these eight worldly concerns keeping me stuck in the quagmire of samsara? Is there any part of these concerns that brings you lasting happiness? Any one of them? In any way do I pounce greedily upon objects of pleasure, trying to squeeze every last drop of pleasure? To what extent? And try to remember the last time you were totally indulging in one of these eight worldly concerns. Try to bring it to mind. What was the result of all my time and effort in this area? What was the result? Now imagine that you're floating high above your home, or high above the town closest to your home. You're floating there. And you're looking down. And you see all the sentient beings below conducting their lives. You're not judging them. Just look. How busy are they? How many different types of pursuits? So much effort, running, doing, busy. Now see the different emotions and afflictions, the delusions that are driving them as they go around in their busy, different pursuits. Is there anything other than the eight worldly dharmas that's driving this? Now consider, if I fail to see how ordinary attachment to the eight worldly dharmas binds me to suffering and unhappiness, if I fail to see it, the cycle will continue without end. Identify some of the main points that hit home to you in this meditation. Try to build up a strong determination. I will reduce and abandon unrealistic expectations of this ordinary samsaric pleasure. I will reduce, I will abandon. Try to build up that strong determination. And when that determination is strong as you can make it, simply focus. when the feeling starts to fade, consider and determine, I will definitely emerge. I will detach myself from these sticky eight worldly dharmas that block me from experiencing my full human potential. I will definitely emerge from that. And when that feeling is as strong as you can make it, focus. Thank you. There's no walking the path without some form of renunciation. But you have to be clear what you're renouncing. You're only renouncing that which keeps you suffering. And so now, in pairs, the last pair of the evening. Just 10 minutes, but if you could, it would be interesting to identify which of the pair you more strongly relate to, really. Because we'll all be a wee bit different here, which pair you strongly related to. If you're not keen on that, and some people aren't, perhaps look at this. Any of those eight worldly dharmas, is there any one of those eight that will not eventually cause you pain, unhappiness, and suffering by its very nature? By its very nature. Because we give preeminence to some things because we think they bring them happiness. If that's the case, look at it. Is it possible for that which I hold dear to eventually bring me unhappiness, pain and suffering? And if the answer is yes, then we're doing what Shantideva said. Knowing the source of suffering, still we run after it. Still. So please, 10 minutes, discussion pairs. This is the stage where you go, what was eight again? So can I just say? Acquiring pleasure, avoiding pain. Listening to sweet words and sounds, avoiding ugly words and sounds. Acquiring material things, making sure you don't lose it. Praise and admiration versus slander and criticism. We can all relate.
Oh, yes.
No different in Buddhist time. No different. The craving is the same. So what type of things were coming up in your discussion? Anybody brave enough to say which worldly concern is kind of top of the list.
Definitely the sixth sense.
The pleasure of the sixth sense. Yeah. It's almost a given for this desire realm. This is called a desire realm for a reason. Mm. And remember, we were talking about the mind, the six types of mind, the five sense mind and mental consciousness. Now, usually, the predominant is the five senses. And the only job this really has to do half the time is just comment on the five senses, right? And in order to meditate on the nature of the mind, the true nature and function of the mind, somehow this has got to get predominant over that. Mm. And that happens by calming the senses, relaxing the body, reducing desire, bringing that down. And that allows mental consciousness to do its real job, which is to touch the nature of its own mind. So we live in a desire realm. It's not, of course, this pleasure of the five senses is predominant. And what makes it more difficult is if you don't go after the pleasure of the five senses, people will think you're completely mad. And if you spend a lot of time going after pleasure of the five senses, what does everybody else say around you? Oh, did you have a good time? When are you going again? You're going to have 2 weeks instead of 3 weeks. What about a month? So not only is your ignorance producing this, but it's compounded by the ignorance of everybody around you who are slapping you on the back and saying, well done, because you know that's why we're here. Yeah. So no wonder that's difficult. No wonder. And the energy we put into that. And why wouldn't you? And avoiding that which is unpleasant. Of course. And everybody will back you up there, eh? Oh, don't do that. Don't give me that person. Don't do this. Don't do that. That's unpleasant. Oh, yeah, I wouldn't. Oh, no. Yes? And avoiding like plague. How much time and effort? Really? Not just the doing of these things, but the thinking about it, the planning, getting everybody else involved who needs to be involved, then the doing of it, then the rejoicing in the doing of it, then thinking to yourself, that was really great, but I kind of don't feel like that. I need more. It just perpetuates, it's like a perpetual motion machine, the desire realm, perpetual motion. Anything else came up as a difficulty?
We actually went for praise and blame.
Ooh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
As number one.
Yeah, for many people, for all of us. And they often say, don't they? I think I've said this many times before, but they often say even the yogi, middle of the, sitting on the mountain, been there for years, hair down to here, still thinking. I bet those people in the village know that there's a holy man up here.
It actually goes beyond that, because we discussed self-esteem, thinking, oh, how clever I am, how good I am, how kind I am, how generous I am.
And what's wrong with that?
Well, it's not what it's all about, is it?
Is it not?
Well, if the purpose of that self-congratulation is just that, self-congratulation, how wonderful I am, it's very self-centred, isn't it? It's very selfish.
It can be. Of course it can be. But really, when we're thinking about, say, precious human rebirth, when we're looking at what a precious, what we were looking at, was rejoicing in our qualities. Saying, yes, I have the body, the health, the money, I have compassion, I have a little bit of wisdom, not much mind, but enough. I have a budding bodhicitta just ready to spark forth. Mm. Not bad. Well done, you. if the motivation is understanding your precious human rebirth so you can benefit yourself and others, nothing wrong with that.
So that's interesting, because that could be a good way. So we were saying how, just for example, I have an elderly neighbour whom I help.
Uh-huh.
But I very rarely do it completely altruistically.
Okay.
We were saying how we'd be like, I'm helping my neighbour.
Yes.
Just that sort of need for a little pat on
the back. Yes, of course.
Back.
Of course.
But if one reframed it and said, well, I'm doing this...
Reframe from the beginning. Always reframe from motivation. Reframe it, so but reframe it from motivation.
So what would the motivation be? Then, bearing in mind what you just said, 'cause that's...
What would your motivation be in helping your neighbour? Before you go and help anyone, don't just do it. Because if you just go and do it without thinking... See, other people think that's great. What a waste of time. Because your motivation will definitely be the eight worldly dharmas, without a doubt.
Yeah.
If you're on your way to help someone, get your motivation right on the way there. If you're going to reframe, reframe from the beginning. What would your motivation be? I know. It's getting to the end of the day, but we'll make it. Come on.
To feel good about yourself. Oh, no, partially. To feel good about yourself.
Okay, let me...
That's very English and therefore unacceptable.
Yeah, well, the English, what can you do? What can you do? Okay, the motivation, if you're walking the Dharma path, has got to be for the benefit of others. It's got to be initially. Now, this is an organic process. The more you help others... the more you benefit. This is true. His Holiness the Dalai Lama calls that being wisely selfish. Mm. If you're going to be selfish, be wisely selfish. But your motivation should be from the bodhicitta. We talked about this. From the benefiting others. You will benefit. You can't help it. If you benefit others, you will be you will reap the rewards. You will benefit yourself. It's unmistakable. That happens. But reframe it. Never do things without starting. If you know that you're going to do something important, something helpful, then get your mind in the right space. Do not let it come from eight worldly dharmas. Because although what you do will may be roughly the same in each space, the consequences are vastly different. Come from a bodhicitta motivation for benefiting others, the karma is sky high.
So what do you actually say then to... Because whilst I've heard bodhicitta motivation, I'm not automatically setting that motivation when I
practice.
So what do I actually say as I'm walking? Oh,
what you're thinking.
Yeah.
What you're thinking. Well, there's a variety of things.
All right.
You know, sometimes the most simple things are the best. But if you know somebody... Now, the thing about prayers, right? If you learn a couple of simple prayers, these prayers are like short studies. That's what they are. The prayers contain everything in them. Everything in them. So if you take a refuge prayer, for instance, the refuge prayer we do every day, if you had that in your mind as a motivation, perfect.
By the merits of these virtues.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. You see, people think prayers are prayers, ritual. No, no. These prayers have everything in them. Learning a few prayers like a dedication prayer and a motivational prayer like refuge, you can use this 100 times a day. And you'll set your mind well. But it could be something as simple of, may I be of benefit to this individual. It could be as simple as that. May I be of benefit to this individual. Mm. How wonderful that I can be of benefit to this individual. Didn't I do well? Now, what's happening here? You set your mind, may I be of benefit, or you've done the prayer. You've done what you needed to do. And afterwards, if you're sensible, you'll dedicate it, right? Anything you do positive, dedicate it. Remember we talked about dedication, not leaving it on the surface of the mind, pushing it in. And then, if you're hypersensible, you'll take some time to rejoice in what you did. Rejoice. How wonderful I was able to do that. May I be able to do it again? And that, to us, it may seem like self-congratulations. Well, so it is. But what's your motivation? Yes. You have a perfect human rebirth. You're highlighting now in your motivation and your dedication all the qualities. You're using these qualities to help others. Don't get mixed up. Now, there's a lot written about the eight worldly dharmas, right? An awful lot written about the eight worldly dharmas. You find it in all the texts, that handout I gave you with the different texts. But here's the book that Lama Zopa Rinpoche wrote, How to Practice Dharma, Teachings on the Eight Worldly Dharmas. That's all this book's about, right? Look at the headings here. Not just eight worldly, the nature of samsara. seeking happiness, this is the chapter headings, seeking happiness and getting suffering. The problems that desire brings. Mixing worldly and holy dharmas. Mixing worldly dharmas and holy dharmas. What's the difference? Don't mix them up. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater either. This is not about putting yourself down. It's about elevating others. Turning away from the worldly concerns and practicing pure dharma. That's just your chapter headings. On the back it says this. Even if we understand nothing else, if by recognising the eight worldly dharmas we can clearly see and differentiate between what is dharma and what is not dharma, we are very fortunate. This is the essential point. What we are doing now is highlighting the main points, but each one of these steps is worthy of study in depth. But we remember we said the mind we are bringing to this is not a pure mind. It's a mind that's clouded with preconceptions, assumptions, and also wrong views. And we're trying to look at pure dharma with this mind. And so we are going to get mixed up. But the more we listen, the more we reflect, the more we study, the more we meditate, the easier that becomes. The easier that becomes.
So that's really, really helpful. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Could you possibly just tell me what the quick dedication would be as the equivalent of may I benefit others?
Yes. What we do every night. We'll do it again tonight.
Right.
See, one of the reasons I've got this book here, this prayer book here, this is just packed full of the most wonderful teachings. Mm-hmm. All of this is teachings. They're in the form of prayers, but they're all teaching. In this book, in the prayers here, there's not one word that shouldn't be there. Each word has meaning. And when we do the dedication tonight...
You can take like one line of it just to say...
Well, I'd have the four lines there. It's not going to take too much time. It's not going to take... If you're going to use a prayer, use the prayer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
However, if you're not and you want to go, you know, I'm so happy I've been of benefit to you. May I continue to be of benefit to you and others in the future. If that's all you... If that's what you want to say, that's powerful.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. Anything else coming up? If you don't tell me, we'll go into another meditation. You have been warned.
I was shocked at how involved I am in all of them.
Yes.
Yeah. Even though I thought I'd really read that book over and over and over and over again.
It's a brilliant book, isn't it?
It's a brilliant book.
It's so
you
clear.
Just slip back into it all the time.
But this is habit, isn't it? This is habit. So what do you do? I mean, first of all, recognise the habit. Mm-hmm. Right? And how I was taught, and we were taught back in Copan, really, was, first of all, recognise it. Keep an eye on what you're doing. Keep an eye on what's motivating you in any circumstance. And you know, even if you decide, once in the morning, once in the afternoon, once in the evening, whatever I'm going to do, I'm doing, I'm going to stop, and I'm going to say to myself, what's my motivation? Is it being driven by the eight worldly dharmas? You might as well do that. Or any time when you suddenly feel that craving for praise, you know. Oh, I really enjoyed that session. Really, how much? Mm-hmm. Really? Was it like really good or just excellent? You know, this type of thing. Yes? Yeah. Whenever that comes to you, anything like that, whether it's grasping after sounds, whether it's grasping after material, as soon as you feel that grasping and that attachment, as soon as you feel it, one of the ways is to stop whatever you're doing. Try to generate a kind of disgust for it. Because it is gross. I have to tell you, this is what animals do. It's how animals function. They function throughout habit and delusion. Yes? We're better than that. We have a precious human rebirth. We could do better. So as soon as you find yourself doing it, just stop. I don't care. Go to the toilet. Lock the door. I don't care. Sit down. And generate a kind of disgust. It's not a word we use a lot, is it? But it's just between me and you, you know. Disgust with it. This is ridiculous. I'm better than this. I have a precious human rebirth. And what you do then, or one of the ways of doing it that I was doing, is breathe it out like black smoke. As you're breathing normally, you're not nothing like that, just breathing normally. And the black smoke is leaving your body, going into space and disappearing, leaving your body on the out-breath. And then on the in-breath, you're breathing in the light of the Buddha Dharma. Breathing in the light through the crown of your head, filling your entire body, filling it with the motivation, the bodhicitta, most importantly, freeing and loosening the binds to your Buddha nature. Let that flourish. And then spend a minute or two. It doesn't take long, just to sit with that. Do that often enough, everything starts to reduce a bit.
So that sounds, it feels and sounds to me, that would be quite a good one to do in the evening, to go back through your day or what?
Useful, yes. It's a very useful practice you can do. I find it, yes, I tend to find it better at the time. But then I don't have the concentration of a gnat. So as soon as it comes to my mind, I try to do it, because otherwise, you know. But yes, if you're reviewing your day, which is a wonderful thing you could do. Yes, beautiful, beautiful to do.
Because sometimes you can recognise that you're doing
that. Oh, yes.
And you go, oh, that wittering mind, and it still goes on, yes. Right? I had a good session weeding and wittering this afternoon, and I thought, and you're still going on. So I suppose the breathing exercise
is very useful. I was taught that
on
I
the
find
spot.
I'm a bit on the spot person.
Review.
The menopause took my memory anyway, so it's better I do on the spot. Definitely. But then again, you know, you can't keep beating yourself up too much. Sometimes this twittering, we call it, in discussing with people, is good social interaction. And sometimes it's the only way we get people to talk. When you're talking to someone, you're gaining information that you're going to be able to use usefully. Sometimes you don't always label that gossip.
No, I mean, it was my own gossip.
Oh, internal gossip. Oh,
yeah.
Oh well,
only
you could do that.
All afternoon,
okay.
It was wittering away.
Okay.
I recognised it, but it was still going on.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, it's hard.
And that's the habitual thing, yeah. Isn't it?
Oh, yes, the habit is very hard to break. But they do say it loosens. It loosens. It just, as soon as you see, it doesn't bring you happiness.
Mm.
Especially if you've gone after, what I found useful, you've gone after one material thing that you wanted. And all the effort and the joy and everything, and you get it. And whatever you have, eventually, it will break.
Mm.
Someone will steal it. Or they'll bring out a better version. And suddenly, oh God, it's like a whole, oh, and I've got this and it's still working. And this, working on things that come to your mind quite. For most people, I think, for many people, it's the sweet words are difficult. And the sweet sounds. Many people are addicted to music, you know, and things like this. And you just have to ask yourself, am I spending too much time doing this? What's happening? What am I getting out of it? Is it true happiness? Whatever. But most importantly, question it. Just question it. Because all the time that we play and dance with these eight worldly dharmas, we dance with them, all we do is get stuck in this quagmire. We're just stuck in samsara. We just dance with it. And we dance with it because it's reinforcing in our mind that the source of all happiness is external. The source of all unhappiness is external. Therefore, how do I behave? Externally. And this is a big lie. It's just untrue.